Exodus chapter 3, and we are in the home stretch. We are somewhere between third base and home plate, and we're not probably going to get to home plate today, probably one more Sunday, and as we have kind of prepared the way these last four or five messages, we are finally getting to what I would call the meat of the message that God was giving Moses. I have found in my life that when God has something to tell me or to show me or to tell me to do, there is normally a lot of things that have to come to place in my life for me to be changed enough, prepared enough, tender enough, humble enough to hear what He has to say. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God could just tell us anything He needs to tell us and we were just ready to hear it, ready to do it, ready to receive it? But that's just not the way we are. And you ever get somebody up in the pulpit that tells you that's the way they are, find a different place. And you'll never hear me say it. And if you hear somebody say it from here, I'm not going to embarrass them. But next time I get up here, I'm going to tell you that was a bunch of junk is what I'm going to tell you. Listen, all of us struggle. All of us struggle with the fact of not just hearing what God has to say to us, but being willing to obey it, willing to do it, willing to jump out by faith, even though the task seems impossible. I have found, I don't think there's any Christian, anybody that the Lord's ever saved, that has ever put their faith and trust in Christ. Now listen to me. I dare say, it would just be my opinion, I just believe with all my heart, that there's never been anybody that's ever given their heart to Christ that God did not at some point in their life ask them to do something impossible. If God's never asked you to do that in your life, maybe you just didn't hear Him. But God did not save us to sit. God saved us to serve. And if God only asked us to do the things that make sense to us or that are easy for us to do, then faith would never have to be involved. But faith is involved when God asks us to do something that we do not think we can do. I want you to look, if you would, at verse 11, as we have been coming through this chapter of Exodus, this wonderful chapter. Let me say this. I hope you've learned something over these last 4 or 5, 6 weeks that we've been doing this. This is actually our sixth message in this series, what you need to know when God tells you to go. It's an interesting background look at all the things that had to take place before, you know, the story we all see, and before finally Charlton Heston raises that staff and the waters are parted at the Red Sea and that fake looking water begins to whatever. Don't they show it every Easter? Isn't that about every Easter where they show on TV somewhere and Charlton Heston is Moses and all that? Way before that ever takes place, there was a quiet evening at the backside, at the bottom of a mountain, and this small, dried up bush was on fire, that God started this whole plan by speaking to a man that was past his prime, that was ready for retirement, had a past that was spotted, and was just minding out his last days keeping sheep. Little did he know how life was getting ready to change. Look at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God begins now in verse 12 to tell us what we need to know when He asks us to go. I'm glad we finally got here. Let's enjoy this. Lord, we love You. Pray that You would bless our message this morning. Thank You for a good full house. And Lord, I believe it's always a miracle to come into this building and see it full. Lord, I think maybe because I know me and I know my shortcomings and my failures and my inadequacies as a speaker, as a pastor, even as a father and a husband, just, Lord, we feel so inadequate. We feel that we fail more than we triumph, and yet, Lord, we're reminded that You do not use the strength of men. You use the weakness in men so that you can appear strong. And Lord, I pray that somehow today you would appear strong in what we have to share. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God said, I'm going to send you, and Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And so God, seeing that Moses was changing, that Moses was thinking about this, that Moses was open to what God was saying, God gave him the first thing that you need to know when God asks you to go. Look at verse 12. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. Title of our message today is I Will, because that's how God introduced every one of the things that Moses needed to know before he stepped out by faith and did what God had asked him to do. May I say this morning, these are exactly the things that you and I need to know before we step out and go. First thing, God gives, number one, his presence. I will be with thee. God is implying here, folks, that there are going to be times that you may question if I'm with you. Why would God look to Moses and say, certainly I will be with thee? Without a doubt, without question, I'm going to be with you. Everything I've asked you to do, everywhere I ask you to go, whatever comes, whatever happens, I'm going to be with you. And he says, certainly. You know, there are times, obviously, that God is implying here that things will happen in our lives and things will take place that we might begin to question whether or not he is really with us. I'm here to tell you today, he's with you. If you've been saved, if you've given your heart to Christ, he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. God is promising that if he asks you to do something, he will not ask you to do it alone. God is making this statement, Moses, your head's about to spin, and there's a lot of things that are going to happen I'm not even going to tell you about, because if I did, you wouldn't go. But all you need to know right now is that I'm going to be with you. Yeah. Moses, you don't need to know what's going to happen tomorrow. And you don't need to know what's going to happen the next day. You don't need to know everything that's going to go on in Egypt. You don't need to know everything that Pharaoh is going to pull. You don't need to know all the plagues that are going to happen. You don't need to know all the tests that are going to happen. You don't need to know what it's like to lead all these people in the wilderness all these years. You don't need to know all that yet. If you knew it, it would hurt you. We were dealing in our last Iron Men's meeting. And even in Sunday school last week, I've been kind of making rounds in Sunday school classes. And with our new classes that we have started, I'm a man without a country right now. So I'm taking offers. And I find out who has the best food, and I go there for that Sunday morning. I'm just picking. I told my wife, I said, I don't feel like I can go to any of these classes yet that we've started, because I think they're going to think I'm looking, I'm watching, I'm monitoring them. I said, so I've enjoyed. I've been so impressed by the classes that I've been to, how our teachers do such a good job, and it's been amazing to me. I think it's absolutely wonderful. But we were talking in one of the classes that, you know what, if you and I, there's a lot of things in our Sunday school classes we're dealing in the curriculum now, our adult classes. I really encourage you, you need to come to one of our classes, one of our couples classes, our men's class, our ladies class. We've got numerous classes now right here in the, whatever, that you need to get involved in these. But we're talking about that God's word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. We're talking about the fact, obviously, as our adult curriculum's going through this, that God's word is a lamp unto my feet. That's literally right where my feet are, but it's also a light unto my path. It means it gives me light where I'm standing, but it also shows me the next steps that I need to take. But the Bible never says that God lights the entire way for you to see the entire path of where you're going. God doesn't show us all that, and God doesn't have to show us all that. God just shows us where we need to take the next step. And we talked about the fact that if we knew the entire path, we wouldn't go. Now listen, I for years here as the assistant pastor would joke with people, and a lot of times people would say, what do you think is going to happen if Brother Joe ever retires or something like that, or something happens to Brother Joe? And I used to say over the years, I said, well, I'll tell you one thing, I feel sorry for whoever it is. I said, to follow Joe Myers, who would be crazy enough to accept that? And I meant that. Little would I have ever known. But I will tell you this. When I prayed and was approached about this, and this would be the will of God for my life, and I prayed, all I knew is this, that God said, this is my will for your life. Amen. If God would have showed me everything that has happened to me in the last 7 or 8 years, I'd still be in evangelism. It's not that this isn't the greatest church in the world, but what my family would go through, what my wife would have to go through, I mean, what I even mentally and emotionally go through during the week, almost every Monday, if you have a good Sunday, I'm just like, here it comes, Monday's going to be horrible. Satan beats you up, tells you all your failures. If I knew all that at the start, but God knew that if you knew all that, you wouldn't go. So I am just going to share with you what you need to know in order for you to go. You and I don't need all the details, and we don't need to know all the future, and we don't need to know all the impact of things, and we don't need to know everything that's going to happen, because if we did, we might not travel that path. All I'm telling you is this, for you to go, the one thing you need to know is that God's going to be with you every step of the way. And that's all you need to know right now. What an amazing promise that God will always be present. When Moses would face battles in Egypt, God would be with him. When Moses would face an army at water's edge, God would be with him. Moses didn't know that was going to happen yet, but that's why Moses needed to get a hold of the fact right now that God said, listen, Moses, I'm with you. You'll never be in this by yourself. You'll never not have me. When the people were complaining, God would be with Moses. When the people were compromising, worshiping that golden calf, losing their minds, God would still be with Moses. It's amazing. It doesn't matter what people do or don't do. God's still with you. You need to know today, whatever your family does or doesn't do or did, God is still with you. You need to know today, no matter what you have done or how you have blown it, God still loves you. And if you're His child, He's with you. You always have His presence. It means before Jesus came, folks. Here we are in the book of Exodus. The Messiah hadn't come yet. Jesus hadn't come. Jesus hadn't died. Jesus hadn't been buried. Jesus hadn't risen from the grave. And so God is promising Moses here that I will be with you. But after Jesus came, and after Jesus died, and after Jesus was buried, and after Jesus rose again, and when Jesus ascended back into heaven, He said, I'm going to give you proof. I'm going to give you a down payment that I am going to come back and get you one day. So I am giving you the Holy Spirit to live in you. And so now God is promising Moses, I will be with you forever. And I'm here to tell you now, because Jesus came and we put our faith and trust in Jesus, He's always in us now. Amen. He's not just with us, He's in us. He's in here. It means whatever you face, He's with you because He's in you. It means that we always have His presence. We're never really alone. And you and I need to know that before we go. If you don't know that, there's going to be times you're going to question the path. If you don't know that, there's going to be times you're going to question. Like, no, I'll never question the Bible. Greater men than you or me who have preached this their entire life have come to times where they began to doubt God's word. You need to know right now, whatever happens, whatever comes, whatever tomorrow brings, whatever next month brings, whatever 10 years down the road brings. And I know that there might be some things in your life, turmoil in your life, ups and downs. Maybe husband or wife has let you down, family's let you down, whatever goes. I'm here to say that I can't fix all those problems, and I can't give you the exact way all that's going to turn out, and I can't tell you every step you're going to take on the path. But what I can tell you today is that God will be with you. And we need to know that. Amen. First thing that God tells Moses, certainly I will be with thee. I want you to notice, secondly, he doesn't just promise his presence. But secondly, he says, Moses, there's something else you need to know. And he said, I'm going to give you my provision. Not just my presence, but my provision. Look, if you would, at verse 16. God says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Here is God telling Moses, this is what you need to say. Verse 17, and I have said, I will bring you up. Yeah. I'm going to do it. I've heard your cries, and I've heard your prayers, and I will be with you, and I will bring you up. Amen. Now notice a couple things here that he promises his provision. First, he says this, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. Amen. He says, first, I'm going to provide you with freedom. Yeah. Do you know that's where your Christian journey starts? Right. When you and I are saved, we who were enslaved to the bondage of sin have been freed and placed into the family of God. God says, I'm going to provide you freedom. I've heard your prayer. I've heard your cry. I know you've been in bondage. I know you've been enslaved. But I will bring you up. I'm going to provide that for you. Notice, secondly, he says, unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I think that's pretty impressive right there. Thank you very much. Every once in a while I come across one, I sneeze when I go by it, just so that we don't have to. But notice first, he says, this is what I'm going to provide. First, I'm going to provide you with freedom. I'm going to bring you up out of that land. But God doesn't just bring us out. He leads us to. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Notice this last phrase. He says, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. God says, I'm going to provide you with freedom. And second, I'm going to provide you with food. Amen. I'm going to take care of you. Yes, sir. What you need, I will provide. Amen. Amen. You know what God tells us in the New Testament? And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Before you go, you and I need to know something. God's going to provide. You see, because there's going to be times that we're going to take a step and we don't see the provision. There's going to be times where we know, well, God seems to be leading me to do this, but I don't see where that's going to be provided, and I don't see how that's going to work out. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you that there are going to be times that you're not going to step out by faith, and you're not going to get out of your comfort zone, and you're not going to do what God has asked you or led you to do until you realize and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he will provide.
Amen. Amen.
God said, first obstacle in your way, Moses, is they're enslaved. I'm going to free them. The next obstacle, Moses, you're going to have is when you get out of Egypt. Now you got nothing to eat. You got nothing to drink. You got nothing to live off of. And he said, I'm going to provide you with that. I'm going to provide. I encourage you today, trust in the provision of God. If you don't believe and know beyond the shadow of a doubt today that God will provide, You say, preacher, that's really easy for you to say. Isn't it amazing that God designed all this and I'm preaching this right before the holidays? When things are lean and things are tough and got a lot of outgo and not a lot of incoming. Anybody have kids today? Say amen. Amen. Anybody have grandkids? Amen. I hear they're wonderful. Whatever. You know why they're wonderful? Because you send them home. That's why they're wonderful. Either you send them home or you go home. But either way, that's why they're perfect. Because you have that 10 o'clock at night till 3 o'clock the next day all by yourself. So, God said, Moses, I will bring you up out of that land unto the good land. I'll provide that. You see, it was important for Moses to know right off the bat that God did not expect Moses to provide any of that. You and I, for some reason, we sometimes say, all right, I think God wants me to do this, but then for some reason you and I think that it is very contingent on our ability to do it. That now we need to get involved. That now I need to give my input. I mean, I know what God is kind of leading me to do in my life, and so I'm going to step out by faith and do this, but if I'm going to do this, then I guess I need to such and such. And may I say, it's good to prepare, and it's good to equip yourself, and it's good to do your homework, and it's good to plan, and it's good to try to cover your bases, and it's good to try to be the best you can be. But dear friend, you and I have to drop it and leave it at the point that if God's called us to do it, and God's asked us to do it, that He will provide. I've told Brother Scott, thank God we still run our buses here at Kerwin. It's not as many buses as I wish we were running. There are times we ran less than we do. There are times we ran more than we do. But we're still running them. Yeah. Amen. Some people might not see as much the importance of it. Some people see how important it is. Whatever the case is, as long as we can get people to do it and are willing, we're going to run those buses. Amen. But I'll tell you something I've told Scott since I've been here. It's not Scott's job to recruit every worker. It's not Scott's job to have to go up to everybody and say, hey, would you help? Hey, would you help? Hey, would you drive a bus for us? Hey, would you work on one of the bus routes? Hey, would you pray about start? There's nothing wrong with him going up and asking and recruiting help because Lord knows over the years in the bus ministry, that's what you have to do to have anybody. But I'm here to tell you, it's not his job. It is our job to sit here and say, God, if you've led me to do it, I'm going to do it. I don't care how intimidating it might be. I don't care how, I don't know what to do, and I don't really know how to do that. And listen, dear friend, I'm here to tell you, if God's asked you to do something and God's led you to get involved in something, I'm here to tell you, He will provide everything you need to do it. God doesn't want perfection. He just wants your participation. God said, I will bring thee up. In closing today, and I'll finish the rest of them, but I want to give you another one if I can. I want you to look at verse 18, if you would. This is what God tells Moses, and they shall hearken to thy voice. Isn't that something? Moses said, what am I going to tell them? God says, this is what you tell them. And then God puts this in verse 18, they shall hearken to thy voice. Moses, they're going to listen to you. Look at me. Are they going to listen to Moses because Moses was so fluent? Are they going to listen to Moses because Moses was such a commanding presence? I mean, Charleston Heston, who's going to say no to him, right? He did play Moses, right? It wasn't Noah, it was Moses. Okay. I don't want to get this whole thing wrong. And so why did God say that the people were going to listen to Moses? Because God made them listen. Amen. Hey, let me let you in a little bit of a news flash. Some people, believe it or not, there are some people that tell me that I preach way too nice. Isn't that great? And there are probably some people that think the other way. I don't know. Some say, bless you, you ought to just leave. You just need to get let, you know. Here's the deal. Your heart's not going to be changed because of me. You're not going to make any decisions because of Daniel Hawtrey. If you do, those decisions won't last. But Daniel Hawtrey, all I can do is just give you God's word. And let God make you listen. Because I got my own problems trying to listen to God. You think I'm going to get mad at you because you don't listen to me? How hypocritical would that be? Because there's times in my own life I'm a little bit stubborn, not listening to God, what he's asking me to do. And I got to get right, and I've got to get submissive, and I got to humble myself, and I got to say, all right, God, what are you trying to say? All I'm doing, and I get it to this pulpit, is saying, hey, this is what God's saying. That's up to you. But God can make that happen. Amen. That's not even the point of this. Look at verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, now it's not just coming back to the people. Now it's not just coming back to Egypt. Now God says, you're going to have to go to the king. Now listen to this. The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Now, one of the most encouraging verses in the Word of God is verse 19. And this is what God said. I'm going to send you to him. This is what you're going to say, verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. Not even close. Thanks, Lord. What a confidence builder. Now the people are going to listen to you, and I'm going to have you go to Egypt, and you're going to go to the king, and you're going to tell the king, listen, you let us go. The God of our Hebrews, the God of us has told us that you're going to let us go. And as soon as you do, he's not going to. So what's the third thing that God said Moses needed? It's as if God's saying this, all right, this is what's going to happen. And when this happens, this is what you need to know. I'm going to give you my presence. I'm going to give you my provision. Notice third. He said, I'm going to give you my protection. Look at verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt. Notice there again, I will. I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt. God says, Moses, wherever you go, I'm going to be there. I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to take you too. I'm going to provide for you. But as I do, you're going to end up right in the presence of the king of Egypt, and you're going to tell him to let those people go. And he said, Moses, that's not going to happen. He's not going to let you go. How many of you know that some of the greatest things God asks you to do are not easy? And let me tell you, when God asks you to do something, don't expect everybody to fall over backwards with excitement. Now, look here, get this. I want you to get this. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. God made the waters to part so that Moses could cross over on dry ground. You know that. But he had to kill the men. He had to kill Pharaoh's army. If God could part waters, why couldn't he just part the men? If God could part the waters of the Red Sea so Moses could go on dry ground, why couldn't God just go down and just part the army? Just hold back the army? Why couldn't God do that? Have you ever thought about that? You know why? Because man has a free will. God is the creator and the director of the universe. He controls the water, the Bible says. But God has given you and me a free will. God has allowed us to make choices. And while God had full reign to part the waters, the hearts of Pharaoh's army were so hardened that God could part the waters, but he had to kill them. Either way, God protected. Look at me, folks. There are going to be things you're going to come up in your life that God can part those waters. And there might be some things in your life that aren't just going to lay over for you, but God can do what needs to be done. God said, I will protect you. What he is saying is this: there's nothing that's going to happen to you that I don't allow. You ever had people say, well, I just don't, this happened in my life, this happened to so-and-so, this happened to my mom, this happened to my dad, this happened to me, and I don't understand why God would allow that. Dear friend, let me say it this way. If you and I, and we were talking in the Sunday class that I was in this morning about, if you can explain why God does certain things, then he would not be God. Right. Right. Do y'all get this? I know this is kind of deep for a Sunday morning. If you could explain God, or if you could explain the things that God does, then he would be brought down to our level because we could understand it. Last time I checked, the Bible says that his ways are above our ways. That means this: if I could explain to you why such and such happened, and if I could explain to you why this happened, if I could explain that, then that would make me equal with God because I could explain what he's doing. But you nor I will ever understand why God does what he does. And that's what makes him God. All I know is this: God has promised us that he will not allow anything to happen to us that he doesn't want to happen. It doesn't mean that God makes things happen to us that are bad. God's not the author of sin. God didn't make a man come rob somebody. God doesn't do any of that. Don't get confused. But God looks at Moses and he says this: hey, this is what's going to happen. He's going to say no. They're going to come after you. And I will smite the Egyptians. Now look at me before I let you go today. Look at me real quick. Get this. Then why all this time later, after all Egypt, and after they're finally freed, and they get out of Egypt, and here comes Pharaoh's army chasing after them, and all of a sudden Moses ends up right here at the Red Sea, and here's the army coming at them from behind, mountains on both sides, they're stuck in an area. Why would Moses, and how could Moses, have enough faith to say that God will provide, and God will do this, and raise his staff, and for God to open up a miraculous way that nobody had ever seen, and that makes no sense to anybody? Why would Moses even believe that could be possible? Because way back here at this mountain, God said, I will smite Egypt. You see, you and I have got to get a hold of some of the promises of God, because there's going to be some times down the road and it's not going to look or make sense, and there's nothing about it that's going to say I should do this at all, and everybody's going to tell you. Imagine all those people with Moses that just started complaining and arguing. Here God's brought us here to die, and here all these things have happened. But if you don't get a hold of the fact that God will smite Egypt, he would have never stepped out by faith. That's why God says you need to know this now. Before you go, I'm always going to give you my presence. I'm always going to give you my provision. And I'm always going to give you my protection. Those are the beginning of some things that you and I need to know before we go. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I love you today. Thank you for the truth of your word. God, little did Moses know all the things that were included in what you said to him. Little did he know all that would transpire. God, how blessed and honored and thankful and humbled we should be that we have you in us everywhere we go. The fact that we have the presence of God. Lord, I don't know what maybe you're doing in hearts, and I don't know what maybe you're laying in the hearts of people here that Lord, you're beginning to prick their heart about a few things and say, you need to do this, step out by faith and do this, get involved in this, start doing. I don't know, Lord. I don't know why you've led me to preach on these things. Your ways are above my ways. God, I'm just going to be faithful. But Lord, I help certainly that you would help us to understand that if we're ever going to exercise faith, that we're going to have to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're always with us, that you will provide, and that you will protect. God, please ask you to do your work. If there's anyone here today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed that doesn't know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, dear friend, let us show you. Let us, in privacy, a man with a man and a woman with a woman, let us show you how you can know. It's not a Baptist thing. It's not where we want you to make you a part of the church. It's we want you to know you're saved and on your way to heaven. That's a Bible thing. We want you to know that. Please don't leave without knowing that. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask you to stand.